When does a phenomenon become the unknown? When all attempts at understanding fail, and those who thirst for knowledge and understanding watch as research turns to ash in their mouth. As the phenomenon turns from a riddle to be solved into anomalous fascination.
Hello, friends. Thank you for tuning in to episode Q&A of the Anomalous Fascination Podcast. Just kidding. Hey, everybody, it's Andy Clodfelter. I'm the host of Anomalous Fascination. I know many of you do know me, but for those of you who do not, I'm the guy who's been saying all the things this whole time. So yeah, I thought it'd be nice to hop in here and do a little bit of a Q&A. So I apologize for people listening in the future who think, man, that was a really short time frame for us to get our questions in, but probably do one in the future. But just wanted to at least get some things in because I'm very aware of the fact that as episodes come out, I present my case and do a lot of information, but obviously these are short episodes. There's not every piece of information imaginable in there. So if anyone ever has a question about a specific case or a specific topic that's been covered, or more importantly, if they just have questions about the show in general, I just think it's fun to answer them and go into it a little bit. So I will notice, you might notice already, this is an episode that is going to be lightly edited, if edited at all. So, unlike most scripted episodes, this is going to be impromptu, and I haven't even looked up answers to any questions or really thought about them at all. So just wanted to make sure that it was clear that, like, well, if I'm going to go completely improv, might as well just go completely improv. So let's get to some of the questions that we had here. Question one. I'm just going kind of in the order of the ones that I received it. My questions slash comments relate to a previous episode, the Fermi paradox I'm familiar with. First, SETI is pronounced SETI by those in the biz, which is more of a comment, but I appreciate it. I genuinely did not know that. I admit I am not a science nerd. On a related note, are you familiar with the concept of the von Neumann probe? And that's from my friend Luke, who sent that in. So I was not familiar with the von Neumann probe, which is interesting because, you know, I covered all that. The Fermi paradox episode that was covered, for those who don't remember, that was episode 17, so not too long ago, had to do with why there's such a likelihood of the fact that alien life should exist, but yet there's no evidence to support it, and so it's a paradox. The von Neumann probe he went into, just to give you a quick example of that, apparently is something to do with some self-replicating spacecraft. Basically a concept that if they were to exist, they would likely get to a point where they had the spacecraft, they would go to one like solar system or something like that, mine all their resources and make new ones with it, then the mothership would stay there and then send off all the replicas to other places. I'm not going to go in too hard in the paint in that one, because if this was an episode I ever had to cover, you would be very disappointed, because it would be me explaining things that I don't understand, and most likely most of you don't either, but it is super interesting, so I appreciate you bringing that up, because that does kind of explain a lot of the theories and why they believe that it should have happened by now. But yeah, good question. I appreciate you asking about that, because then I got to do more research. What has been your favorite discovery so far? I'll just answer ask all these questions at the same time. Is there a subject you haven't been able to cover just because there isn't enough information available but is super compelling? And sure, you can use my name, which is David from Ontario. So as far as my favorite discovery so far, I genuinely, and this is going to be answer to several ones, unfortunately, because there's a lot of great topics I've covered, and it gets harder and harder every episode I cover, but my first and most exciting one that I covered that was just, I was fully in, I was so obsessed, and I was like, everybody needs to know about this, was the Tamam Shud case, or the Somerton Man, the individual who was found there in Australia. So that one has just, that one, if you look into that yourself too, so I covered a lot in the episode, but there were so many in between steps between things that I jumped to that it's even crazier than I made it out to sound like. It's just every single thing. It's like, how is it that there is so much data and information to lead us to one place to another, and every single time it's a dead end? It is one of the most compelling things I've ever heard. And to those of you who are not aware, this is being recorded May 23rd, 2021. Within the past week or so, I had mentioned at the end of the episode that they were trying to get the body dug up on this one. Turns out they did. They actually just had to accomplish that here recently. So they're going to be, they've exhumed the body, and they're going to be analyzing the body likely soon. So we'll get to have a little bit more information once they've analyzed that. And is there a subject you haven't been able to cover just because there isn't enough information available, but is super compelling? Gosh, there's a fair amount of them. I mean, like, I just can't think of them off the top of my head because I've started in on some of them, and then just, like, there's another question about this, so I don't want to go too far into it because it's a little more pointed question, but there's just several ones where, like, it's some, particularly, like, some really cool artifact or something where there's a landmark or something like that, some geological discovery, something like that, where it's super interesting and everything like that, but it's just like, here's the data, they found it, it's really cool, and it means a lot, but there's nothing really to say about that except it is very interesting. Those are ones that, to me, I'm like, holy crap, I can't believe we found, for example, evidence of a society that, like, you know, predates anything that we had first originally expected, which I believe, I mean, look, I'm going to pull up here because actually he might have the name of that one in particular. Okay, that one is called Göbekli Tepe. So it's G-O-B-E-K-L-I-T-E-P-E. I don't know if that's how you pronounce it. A lot of the times I wing things on this show. But that is one that is a super well-preserved place that was discovered recently in Turkey that they're still currently excavating. And that's one that if you ever want to look into it, it's super interesting. But yeah, just as far as data and information to present on the episode, on an actual episode, it's just kind of lacking. So it's hard to really dive into that very far. There's been some other ones too. I won't go into those specifically, but some other ones where I've really, really thought, man, this is a really cool subject, but just haven't been able to get enough information to present an entire case on it. So, thank you. I appreciate the questions, David. How do you go about finding these random topics? And that is from Lisa, who is my co-host from 90s Court. So, thank you, Lisa. You're a rock star. So, how I go about finding these random topics is a mix of different things. So, since like day one, I've had just a rolling list. So I have like a list that I keep. It's literally just titled Anomalies, and it just has a whole bunch of things on it. And typically, I can tell you a lot of the things on that list are things that have been rejected over and over and over again by me, Andy, in my mind. Every week that I come looking for a new topic, and I look through that list real quick, and I'm like, no, not that. No, not that. No, not that. Okay, maybe this. And usually what happens is I'll look into something. I might even start working on the episode or the topic and then end up punting it and going for something else. For example, I had the episode that came in here recently, one of the more recent episodes, episode 23, the Phantom Islands episode. That episode I had actually started on and done a lot of research on. I hadn't written a script or anything yet, but I worked on that months ago. So I had started on that, and I believe that was when I ended up punting it and ended up going to the Bouvet Island mystery instead. So I had started on this topic of Phantom Islands and had that ready to go, but then as I was looking through things, you know, I'll tell you more about this soon, but there's a lot of rabbit holes that happen whenever I'm researching. And so as I'm researching and looking things up, I'll find one thing, maybe I'll click on a link or something like that, or see a reference to something else, and then I'll be like, you know what? Forget that whole topic I was just researching. I'm doing this now. Or even further than that, maybe I go down one rabbit hole and that leads me to another. So it's always interesting because I end up learning stuff that I don't even end up covering on the show. So, you know, it's just a really cool place and a way to learn new information. So a lot of the times on there, I guess I, in addition to just hopping on and looking down random rabbit holes, there are certain episodes, for example, that I've gotten recommendations or suggestions from people. Let's see. So, for example, so Mass Hysteria, that episode, as I think I mentioned during the episode, there is someone who was at work who would listen to the show that had recommended a couple of topics that were super fascinating. One of them happened to be something that was a phenomena that involved mass hysteria. And I had just like been researching something that also had mass hysteria involved in it. And I just thought that's so weird that there's so many things with mass hysteria. And I started looking it up and looking at all these instances of quote unquote mass hysteria instances. And I'm like, is mass hysteria even real? Because it seems to cover all of these things. And it feels like it's just a way of making it so my show about the unsolvable things of the world can't exist because they solve it all with mass hysteria. So yeah, so that was one interesting way. And then, you know, other ones, for example, episode 11, my friend Rick, who suggested that one. That episode was so much fun. It was a short episode. It was easy to get in and get out. But just the punchline at the end of it, if you haven't listened to that, hop in there and listen. It's a really good one, too. So yeah, so that's how I go about finding these random topics. Thanks, Lisa. This one's from Piggly Dog. Which is not a person, but I believe they have a podcast, and they just, when I asked on Twitter, they had asked this question. Do you think the Centralia, Pennsylvania fire is more than meets the eye? Felt a little bit out of the blue and out of nowhere, but I appreciate the question because I am familiar with that, and honestly, of reasons that I get into doing what I'm doing now, the Centralia, Pennsylvania fire, I think I heard that one covered on maybe The Dollop or something like that forever ago. The Dollop is a really great show, too. It's comedy and everything like that, but they also have some history shows. I will say that of the episodes that I've done on this show, the only one that I know of that was covered on there, again, if other ones have been, I just haven't listened to that episode because I listened to the first 100 or so and then just kind of won't skip every once in a while and listen to a couple, was the Kentucky Meat Shower episode, which they did cover, but I was like, this is just such a good topic, I can't not cover it. But the Centralia, Pennsylvania fire is insane to me. I don't know what they mean necessarily by more than meets the eye. My understanding from what I've read is that basically there was a problem, and it was just a systematic series of local governments, state governments, and everything like that just not caring at all about these people and allowing these fires to keep going. And hence we are still now. I mean, I remember listening to the episode, and every decade he would say we kept getting closer and closer to the present. And then when I looked it up after the episode, I'm like, oh my gosh, this fire is still going. It's still so crazy to me. So if you haven't ever listened to that, Centralia, Pennsylvania fire, there's a mine that's been on fire underneath this nearly abandoned city of Centralia, Pennsylvania for decades and decades. So thank you, Piggly Dog. And then my friend Erin, she had several questions. So I'm going to ask a couple of those. What advice would you give someone wanting to start a podcast? So I like this one because I never get to answer these kind of questions. It's always something that I get excited when somebody asks me. It doesn't happen that often that people A, want to start a podcast, and B, want to ask me any questions about it. But I mean, obviously the first thing is, you know, figure out what your topic is going to be. Is it something that you feel really strongly about and something you feel that you can give a lot of content and everything like that on it? Because, I mean, honestly, I guess you don't even have to be that much of an expert at your topic. A lot of shows are just, hey, two people just talking and being goofy or something like that, which that's fine. You know, those are always fun shows and everything. But you have to realize and recognize there's millions, there's like over a million podcasts in the world. And there's a lot of shows that are just like that. Now, that being said, my first show was like that. And so a lot of the ways that, like, Anomalous Fascination is the way it is now is having trial and error, right? So I had a show called Mary and Andy Aren't Good at This with my good friend Mary. Again, love the show. It was an absolute blast. The audio quality did sound like we were in a dumpster. And frankly, we were literally using an iPhone with an iPhone mic, a special microphone attached to it, sitting in her car that was on with the engine running. So it was understandably bad audio quality. And then 90s Court, of course, my next show. That one, again, 90s Court, love our audio quality. We have a lot of fun there. It's great. Anomalous Fascination, though, I took it up to the next level. We have the scripted episodes, and more importantly, I edit a lot. So my biggest thing is when you start the show and you're about to put out your first episode, I get it that you're excited. Please, for the love of God, take your time. Make sure episode one sounds so good, because when people hop in to listen to your show, no matter what you tell them, like, hey, listen to a newer episode or something like that, they are going to listen to episode one. And I mean, especially if it's episodic and it's in order, you know, if it's something where you need to listen in order, definitely make sure episode one is top tier. And I mentioned that to you from many, many experiences of hating my episode one on various shows I've been on. And so it's just one of those things where you almost cringe when somebody tells you they listened to your first episode. And this is something that's been experienced by a lot of people. Because again, it's trial and error. And so you learn from your past mistakes. It's better when you can learn from maybe making an episode one, realizing, hey, that's bad. I did a bad job. I know it's going to be a lot more work to do it again, but it literally is worth it to just do it again. Just to make sure the content's good, the audio quality's good. I think the audio quality is the biggest one, because that's one where, you know, there was a hiccup or something like that. Be like, it's fine. Like, just let it go and just move it forward. Just go back. If you have to record it again, you have to record it again. So, and also, I guess I shouldn't speak for everyone, because, you know, I came into this to have fun. It's a cool artistic expression, a way of being involved and having some way of expressing myself from being someone who, and up until recently, I'm leaving that field, but have been in insurance claims for quite some time, which, for those of you who are insurance claims, awesome. You too know that it's a very boring, terrible field that is not the most exciting thing to be in, and a great way of expressing yourself. So it's a great thing, but if you're, be patient. And this is the thing, I had to tell myself that, because this is my first solo show where I don't have other people to bounce things off of or anything like that to you know, talk to about the show or anything. And so this show, I mean, episode 20, I came out with the Solder Children episodes, put a lot of work into those, and I was super proud of them. And just the results I got just from the show in general, I was just like, I was pretty beat down, because I put in a lot of work in the show. And so I took a week off, and then 2 weeks off, and then I originally was supposed to just be a week or two off, but I just got so tired of it that I just gave up for about a month. And then I finally came back, and I've been happy since then, because, you know, things have picked up a lot, and I'm, you know, having fun doing it again. It's just, it's a lesson that I have to remind myself of too, is be patient. It's incredible how much certain word of mouth can make you take off as far as people listening. Because if you know the quality of the content you're making is good, then eventually if people listen to it, I know, famous last words of every podcaster, eventually if people listen to it and they like it, they'll stick around. So be patient. Understand that over time, people are going to listen. They're going to like it. They're going to enjoy it. It's just going to take more time than you might like. So let's see, how do you find the stories that you share with us? I already answered that. How do you decide what stories to tell? So, I mean, cause yeah, I find the topics, like I said, I have this whole list of just like this murder wall of topics and everything like that. But as far as why I didn't actually decide to tell, like there's certain ones where I have, I started and I even have all the resources and everything. I have like a Word document with my various sources for stuff in there. But I never started on it, because every time I did, I'm like, how do I make this interesting? And maybe there will come a time when I realize that just the educational quality of it and the interesting information is good enough. I guess maybe it's that me, at least as of late in particular, in the past 10, 15 episodes or what have you, I've been kind of adding, it's exciting for me to add a hint of tension, suspense, mystery in it and everything like that. I think that's interesting for me, and hopefully it's interesting to other people. And just some of them, there's just not a lot of tension or mystery. And so it's kind of hard to do that. So finding the ones that there is some sort of a twist, or there is like multiple really big nuggets, so that even though you're telling a lot of the interesting information, you guys know my little last second stinger. I always like to have like, and it's not on every single episode, but most episodes I like to have a last second thing that's just like, wait, what? And then the episode's over. So yeah, if you ever think, man, does Andy do that on purpose? Yes, I do. I do like to torture you. So I think it's that. It's just reading through it and deciding if there's something that is enough to present a full case on. What stories fascinate you the most? I think kind of cover this too. Like I said, Tamam Shud still is one of my number ones. I think the Tunguska event, which again, I did recently watch the film Greenland, which again, I will say this, very good disaster movie, one of the best disaster movies I've seen in recent memory. The Tunguska event, I believe they referenced it in that movie briefly as like an example. I mean, think about it, it's a crater caused by who knows? They don't even know what college. It's just, it's amazing to me that these are the things that seem so huge, like that and like the Carrington event, that are so huge, and you're like, how did I not know about these? You know, so stuff like that I think is super interesting. Those ones. So I would say, yeah, Tamam Shud, Tunguska event, and the most recent Carrington event. I will say Solder Children Mystery also. I'm sorry, that one's more popular, and so more people know about it. But goodness. Not only was that an amazing, amazing thing to research. Again, it was very similar to Tamam Shud in that regard. But it had so much good meaty nuggets in it. You know, so it was very fun to write a script for, too. So that was one where it was fun to research and to write. So, and hopefully you guys appreciated that. Because if you ever do go back and listen to it, if maybe you haven't listened to that one, highly recommend it. Those are two of my favorites. Okay. Do you believe in the unknown, aka ghosts, aliens, parallel universes, etc.? So people who know me know that this is a funny thing because it kind of puts a lot of things into context, because you listen to the episode and episodes, and especially early on, like there were a lot of ones where the unexplainable things ended up being, hey, we don't know what it was, so everybody starts saying it was aliens, you know? So, I do not believe in aliens as far as them being on this planet or near us or what have you. I do believe them in the sense that it is preposterous to suggest that there's no living life somewhere else, intelligent life somewhere else in the known universe. Ghosts, absolutely. I have a ghost experience, which is actually the next question, so I'm going to share that. I have seen a ghost. I do believe in ghosts strongly, I love ghost shows. I normally don't watch garbage TV, but the show Ghost Adventures, I'm a big fan of. And I apologize for calling it garbage TV, but it's one of those guilty pleasures show, I should say. It's not the most intelligent or informative show. I just like it. So, parallel universes, I don't know. I haven't thought about it much, but I think that's really fascinating to me. I don't know if I believe in it or don't. It's not something that people ask me about, but I will say cryptids, jury's out. I don't believe in like Bigfoot or anything like that. Sorry, gang. But I do believe in, I do think that whatever happened with the Mothman, that's another topic that, like, if you ask me why I did the show and like what originally motivated me to do it, stuff like that, where it's just like, I know that most likely there wasn't like a man with moth wings that was like going around doing crazy stuff. But the fact is, there is so many reports of everything happening in that area around the same time from like reputable human beings. Something was out there and something happened, and it wasn't a crane. So, you know, stuff like that fascinates me too, even though it is paranormal. And maybe we'll cover that sometime soon. Have you had any unexplained experiences happen to you? Yes. So, the ghost story. So, I was about 17 years old. I did choir when I was younger, and so we had like an honor choir that like four guys and four girls were selected to go to Illinois State University from our high school. We were staying there for the weekend, and so we had a hotel room. So we're at this old period looking hotel that was probably the cheapest one they could get. And of course it's four boys stuffed in a room with two queen beds or whatever. And so we're lying in bed there at night. The two of us in bed, and I'm a terrible sleeper, always have been, especially with three other kids in the room. And so I'm just lying there, not really able to sleep, and so I turn over just real quick because I haven't been sleeping and I want to see what time it is. So I turn over and I see the clock's blinking 12, you know. If you haven't had an alarm clock in a while, understandable. That means usually that it's been unplugged recently or there's been a power outage recently. So I see that, and I'm like, okay, well, I guess I don't know what time it is. And so as I'm turning back over to roll back over, my eyes cross the vision of like in the middle of the room where the television would be, right between the two beds. And there is just a dark figure that's probably like 6 feet tall that's just black. I mean, it's dark too, so it's hard to see. So, I mean, it's hard to see, but there's just a completely black figure just standing there. And I just freeze. Like, I'm sitting up in my bed halfway, just staring at this thing, and I don't move. I'm just completely motionless. And then it just suddenly whispers and goes, "The clock is broken." And then it just suddenly turns and moves towards the exit to the bedroom, or to the room where it suddenly crosses out of my field of vision, because there's just the wall blocks your view when it gets to the part where the bathroom and the exit to the room are. I hear no doors open, nothing happen, no one moves. I'm sitting there, halfway set up in bed, looking at the other bed, looking at my bed. Everybody's still in their bed. I sat there for at least what felt like half an hour, but probably was like 5 minutes. And I finally slowly got up and walked very quietly towards that area. And there was nobody in the bathroom, no one at the door, no doors were open. It just disappeared. So anyway, so that's my story. And probably the reason you know it's probably genuine is because if I were making that up, I definitely wouldn't have said that the ghost said something, because most people who are like, well, ghosts can't say, full-bodied apparitions don't talk, you know. I'm like, okay, cool, well, never mind. The thing that I said happened didn't actually happen, my bad. All right, but thank you, Aaron. Those were multiple questions for my friend Aaron. Thank you so much. There's a question from Tim. How long does it take you to record each episode, including all research and recording and editing? That varies wildly, but, so let's say, I mean, for example, the Clara Harris and Henry Rathbone episode 21, that one, I intentionally was like, I just need to get an episode out. Again, feel bad, didn't mean to, but it was just like, that was one where it didn't take a lot of research and a lot of editing and stuff. A lot of the things I do, I take liberties sometimes with, having a lot of the episodes be me talking and saying nonsense, as you guys might notice. Particularly the intros, a lot of the times are more, here's some conceptual ideas, some things that'll kind of point you in the right direction and get you in the mood for what's coming. So Clara Harris and Henry Rathbone, for whatever reason, that one just wasn't too hard to type up and get out there. So something like that, that one probably took me, I don't know, maybe like 2 hours of research, an hour and a half of typing, so like 3.5 hours of all of that total. Recording is the shortest part, honestly. It usually takes me like 45 minutes maybe total for recording, and then editing usually takes me gosh, also varies wildly, anywhere from 2 hours to 3.5-4 hours. It's just impossible to say, because it depends on how long the episodes are, how much there is to break up. If I have to nitpick and pull up stuff where there's like a maxing out of the mic sound or something, where I have to try and get it edited out perfectly without, you know, ruining the actual sound. So, but then like a larger episode, like a bigger one, like a Tamam Shud one or whatever, like that one, I think I spent like, had to be the greater part of like 6 hours, not 6 hours, I'll say maybe like 4 hours researching. Then about 2.5-3 hours, probably like 3 hours writing the script, and then the episode, of course, didn't take too long, and then the editing took quite a while. So I mean, I would say it can go anywhere from, it takes me 5 to 12 hours to make an episode. So whenever you listen to the episode and think that was a nice 15 minute episode of enjoyment, just know how excited I am to put it out to you guys, because I did spend the greater part of my weekend doing it. So anyways, but yeah, thank you for asking that. Are there ever topics you bail on once you start researching and realize that they aren't that cool? Yes. I love these questions, because they end up being such good questions, because they are things that do happen to me so often, is I will start researching and doing something, and it's something that maybe is still on my anomalies list, but I have tried multiple times at certain different topics that I've started to do it, and I remember like, oh, that's why I haven't done this one yet. Because it's just like, I don't want to keep mentioning things because I might cover them in the future, but like, I'll just say there's a book that exists in the world that is super, super suspect and crazy, and like, it is unreadable by anyone. It's been passed along from generation to generation, and nobody knows what it means. It's gorgeous writing, gorgeous pictures, all this stuff. Nobody has any idea what the word is, what the language is, or anything. It's not a cipher. Nobody knows what it is. I love that, and I think that's the dopest thing ever, and that's why every time I start to do it, I'm like, this is going to be dope, and I cannot, for the life of me, figure out how to entertain you guys for even 15 minutes with that. So good question. Question. In the Roddy Marks episode, I believe you said that the scientist/doctor that treated him disappeared. I found this very curious. Did you do any follow-up on this? Thanks. And that's from Troy. So, Troy, I honestly like the question because it was weird to me too, because I was reading through it and like, I guess I'd read through it multiple times and I didn't even catch that aspect of it until I think like the third read through, like, cause I read through it once, you know, type it, type up some stuff for the episode, and then I'm going through again and like, oh wait, what was the exact details? And I go back to it and I realized it said he was there for his initial testimony. So he showed up to testify and give his response to why what he did was legitimate in treating the guy. Then this other scientist from Antarctica, in the meantime, because again, this was over the period of several years, he had sent out a rebuttal saying like, that's bogus, like because of XYZ, which I discussed in the episode. And then he never responded and nobody knows where he is. Like there's nobody seen him since then. So I don't know exactly what the story is, but I mean, it's just, I guess maybe it's not something where like they've been looking super hard for him, because again, it was such an unusual situation with all these different governments involved that, I mean, he could just be in Russia or something, or just whatever country he's from, and just, you know, the New Zealand people who were putting on the investigation, or even the Americans that were helping, or the Australians that were helping, just couldn't, you know, gain access to find out where he was to get more questions. But so yeah, it's a good question. How long has this stuff interested you? So there's a few questions here. These are from Alyssa. Honestly, I mean, it's hard to say because there's so many different stories, like ones that are more common that we might know about in history because they're in history classes and things like that, like super interesting mysteries and stuff. I find that the real aspect, like the fact that they are real, is the part that I like about it. I wouldn't find it as interesting, I mean, obviously, but it wouldn't be as interesting in fiction or something like that. Like, wow, okay, amazing. The fact that there is these things that, because I will say this, I get really frustrated when I don't understand stuff, especially when I know that other people do. There's almost this weird sense of relief to know that I don't understand and I can speculate on things, on a situation, and I don't know, but neither does anyone else. You know, like the WoW signal or the hum or, you know, Tamam Shud, whatever. So it's cool to me to be able to just kind of think like, wow, that's crazy and that's insane that just so many people tried and just couldn't figure it out. Where do you get your background music? Thank you for asking that, because I do always want to give shout outs to these people because they, oh my gosh, I really use pretty much the same two, sometimes three, I would say two main core guys that are amazing. Free Music Archive, it's something that I've used for like, you know, like our 90s court theme song and different things like that. They have great ambient music, so that's the subject, the topic, like the place that it's in, is Sergei Cherishimov. I could not for the life of you tell me how it's pronounced. Sergei Cherishimov. He's listed, I mean, you'll see him in my show notes every single episode. Music by, and it'll say the name of the song, the name of the authors, and I mean the name of the musicians, and where you can find them. Sergei Cherishimov usually is the main song that you hear during every episode, during usually the largest chunk of the piano music and everything. That is him. He also does many, many other ones that I've had on the episodes. And then Blear Moon, every time I see it, I think it's Bear Moon, but it's not. Blear Moon, which is B-L-E-A-R Moon, they also do a lot of really great stuff, and that's usually a lot more of the ambient, like noises like that. If you hear that in a song, usually it's by them. So, and let's see, and the last one is Kai Engel. Kai Engel actually is the maker of our theme song, Home Road, which is the song that plays at the beginning of every episode. So Kai Engel, Blear Moon, Sergei Cherishimov. Again, you can usually check them out. They're on Free Music Archive. And I'm sure also, I think they have Bandcamp websites, which the links to those are in the episode titles. So, but yeah, every time I find a good piece of music, it blows my mind, because I'm always like, I feel like I looked at some point and didn't find something good by them. But at this point, I've just started looking for them because they always end up fitting episodes really well. They're not too loud. They don't go too over the top. And I love the piano music. It's always very soothing and relaxing. And sometimes you just find that perfect one just because it's fresh in mind. For example, the first part of the Carrington event, the intro part and everything like that, I was tired. I just finished editing. Everything was done. I'm like, I gotta find a new piece of music. So I just hopped on real quick and looked at it. And like the second one that I clicked on was that one. And I plugged it in and started listening. I was like, yes. It is so gratifying when you find a good piece of music to fit it. And so, yeah, very grateful these amazing artists allow us to use these things without having to pay them money, because I'd be sad otherwise. But I do always give them shout outs in the show notes. So gang, I think that's it for the questions. I had some other ones, some other small questions, but frankly, I've just gone pretty long. And I changed my mind and decided I am going to go back and edit this. So if you do hear some editing, I wasn't meaning to lie. I just ended up realizing that I speak a lot worse than I thought. And I don't need you to know how bad I speak in reality. So anyways, just want to say to all of my listeners, all the people out there, you guys are amazing. It seriously is so much fun to do this show. And those of you who do interact and do say things like I have gotten more comments on this show about like how cool an episode was or how interesting it is. And I'm like, it is so cool for me not just to be like, oh, your product is so good. That's not as big of a deal. To know that somebody else was nerding out as much as me about something makes me so happy. So thank you guys. And I love your feedback and comments. Again, if you guys ever want to follow me and you don't already, follow me at Anomaly Pod on Facebook and Twitter. And you can email me at anomalousfascination@gmail.com. And again, you hear it a million times, leave those 5-star rating and reviews. Podchaser, Apple Podcasts, really means a lot. Anyways, until next time, thanks for listening.